Well, this is our first Sunday in the season of Lent. It's actually in the season of Lent. It's actually not part of the 40 days of Lent. It's kind of one of those strange little combos that we do as a church. So it's not officially the Lenten day exactly. Sundays are actually the day out of that. But having said that, our Lent journey is one where we walk with Jesus towards the cross. And it's because of that reason that the words of the gospel reading that struck me this week were Thomas's. Now, Thomas spoke to Jesus these words, or to the other disciples these words, "Let us go with him, let us go with Jesus to die with him." Kind of bleak words, huh? Yeah, they're pretty bleak words. He's obviously talking to the other disciples about the fact that they're heading towards Bethany, where Lazarus and his sisters lived. And that was right next to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem were where Jesus' enemies were, and the leaders of the country and the people in power were. And the problem with that was Jesus had been kind of, if you will, disrupting, disturbing them, going against some of their teaching. So in those days, if you bothered the leadership, contradicted the leadership, your life was in danger. And they had already begun to plan and move against Jesus. So for Thomas, it's kind of like going in front of the lion's den. You know, they may stick in their den for a little bit, but eventually the lions are going to get hungry and they're going to come out and you're in trouble. So Thomas was saying these words with great justification. And you can kind of hear the fear in them. And I think some regret. This Jesus thing, man, what have I gotten myself into here? I mean, gee, this is not looking too good here. Well, the interesting thing I hear about Thomas's words is he said them, again, with some sense of fear and regret, maybe, but I think he's missing something greatly. That the very words he said in that way could be very understood in a much more positive and profound way that he doesn't understand. Because Jesus' call to his disciples was one where you go with him to die with him. Jesus called his disciples to lose life. Jesus called his disciples saying, "Pick up your cross and follow me." He didn't promise them just glory and wonder and all these marvelous things. He let them know these things. Paul picks up to it in that first reading we had today, where he went on about how we are baptized into the death of Jesus, that we're joined with him in this losing of life. I think of Bonhoeffer from the World War II time period, one of our great Lutheran speakers of that day. He said, when God calls someone, he bids them come and die. Well, that first hits us as kind of negative, though. That's kind of heavy. Pastor, you know, I got something else to do on Sunday mornings here, right? It sounds heavy on the up front. It sounds heavy because I don't think we really catch the context we're saying this to. We're saying this to people, as we know, who are mortals. We ourselves are going to die. And we don't always grab onto that reality or like to think about it much, but obviously Ash Wednesday was just a few days ago, and we marked ourselves with dust and ashes. And the psalm today really gets at that. This psalm that says, you know, teach us to number our days. You know, we're like the grass. It's going to pass quickly. And when you realize that, when you own that, when you accept that reality, that indeed we are going to lose life, it gets us thinking differently. It gets us thinking about what's worth losing it for. And how are we going to do that? Who are we going to go with on this journey that's all so quickly? We're losing life this minute, this second, right now. It's going away. You don't get those seconds back. You don't get this day back, you don't get yesterday back, and you won't get those years. 2017 is gone. We are going with Jesus to die with him. And if we think about it, there can be some real hope when we first accept the reality of our mortal existence. And indeed, as many of you did, came and got marked with ashes, from dust to dust. And all of a sudden, then, you're starting to look for, well, what hope can we have as we lose life? What wisdom can we gain from numbering our days and realizing how quickly they pass? Well, Well, that's really the second half of this gospel, isn't it? For Jesus takes his disciples and they go over to Bethany. And I'm sure Thomas was grumpy the whole way. Like, oh, I can't believe we're doing this. What are we getting into here? That's all right. He's still going. And they get there and Martha goes out to meet them outside the house. And Martha's first words to Jesus were those great heavy words, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And I think all of us at some level, at some point, understand where those words come from. Because Jesus, this could somehow have been different if you would have just intervened. It didn't have to turn out like this, Lord. It could have been different if you would have intervened. The anger and again, disappointment and blame in those words. And Jesus tells her, hey, your brother's going to rise again. And she says, oh, I know, at the last day, you know, he will rise and the big judgment that will happen. And Jesus tells her these strange words. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, the first two words, I am, to say I am, that's the name of God, Yahweh. To say those words, he's shaking things there. He's breaking all kinds of, making all kinds of crazy things to say I am. And then to go on and say the resurrection and life. Now, I don't like that translation. Someone says, what is resurrection and life? I'm not quite sure. Resurrection, what are you getting at there? I think what it's getting at is more this. I am resurrecting life. I'm the one that takes that which is dead and I make it alive. I am, as in God, is one who takes what is dead and makes it alive. What do we do with that? There's a lot of dead. Not just the fact that our bodies die, our lives come to an end, but we face death, I think, all through our lives. And we always struggle with those kinds of things, like why we get up in the morning, if nothing else, or, you know, just parts of our lives that's not working out, that just feels dead. We use that word in multiple ways, and I think Jesus means them in all those ways. I take what is dead and makes it alive. In the end, saying, do you believe this? You trust me for this. Well, pretty soon Martha leaves, goes back and gets Mary. Mary comes out and says the same thing. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But with Mary came a whole bunch of people and they were all weeping. And Jesus begins to weep and says, Leah, let's go to the tomb. And they head over to that tomb of Lazarus and he says, take the stone away. And Martha says, no, Lord, you don't want to do there. It's 4 days. It's going to stink to high heavens. And he has them do it anyway. And he calls to that open tomb and says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus gets up and comes out alive. Resurrected him. And he says, unbind him and let him go. So Jesus didn't just say the words, I am resurrecting life. He showed them, I am resurrecting life by his deeds. That they might believe that he and trust and find their way to resurrecting life for themselves. For one like Thomas, whose faith was never all that it could or maybe should have been. And we all can relate to that. How many of us need a little resurrecting life when we face doubts? When our doubts seem to cloud our heads and we, you know, wonder why we're doing this whole thing. Here we are, Sunday morning again. I'm not quite sure. This is costing me this Jesus stuff. It doesn't look like it may even end well. It's not getting the end I want to it. And Jesus would be resurrecting life for us as we gather here today, reminding us that he does raise us back to life. That we who are joined to a death like his, in Paul's words, are also joined to a resurrection like his. To Mary and Martha, who have spent too long by the grave, how many of us have spent too much time by graves, feeling the loss of too many loved ones, weighed down by it? To have injected into that this hope that there's resurrecting life somehow. It can turn out differently than we expect. That God can raise things up that can dramatically change things in this world. So as we take our journey, indeed, we're going to lose life. But what are we going to lose it for? We're going to lose it for the one who says, I am resurrecting life. We're going to lose it with him. We're going to go with Jesus, to die with Jesus, to be also raised with Jesus. That's our call in life, to go with this guy. Trusting that somehow there's resurrecting life on the way, that it's not all done. And not just for ourselves, but for others. You know, we've been talking as a church to move ahead, getting wells for other people. You know, it's a pain to get wells to other people. It's going to cost you some money. And it's going to cost a bunch of people some time. But if you look at what it is. In our sacrifice, in our losing our lives that way, is precisely where we start finding life again. The world wants to tell you, hey, if you just go out and get all the lives, pile up all the stuff, have a good time all the ways, that somehow that's going to be rich and fulfilling, that's all you get. And Jesus is asking us to look deeper and say, no, it's about losing it. To going with Jesus in his call, following him, and he'll find life on the way. Even when it costs you something like wells. You know that many, many places in the world have wells that are just basically mud holes. They're not sanitary. The average trip to get to those water sources is like 3 miles. They carry 5 gallons of water. That's 40 pounds. I tried it for a mile. It's mostly women, almost exclusively women, sometimes or commonly girls. And if you're traveling 6 miles round trip to get water, you're not going to school. And you're bringing back water that's making people often sick because it's not clean enough. And what is it to say that we built that well where people get clean water? That they know someone cared enough about their village and their supply that they go out, they pump their water, and it's clean, it's fresh, and the girls are in school, the women have time to do other chores and be productive in the world, and they're not sick. I don't know. There's something that comes inside and says, yeah. There's something that comes alive when we do stuff like that. There's something that is resurrecting life when we walk with Jesus and realize that losing our life and go with him, even when it looks like, oh, I'm not so sure I want to go there, Jesus. I'm feeling tired. I think this is too much. There he is, resurrecting life in our souls. And in that day, that last day, we too will be called out like Lazarus. We walk in him, the one who says, I am resurrecting life for you right now, this place, and forevermore. I am resurrecting life for you right now, in this place, and forevermore.